The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast. Again, remember we are sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs free checking. Head to wintrust.com/cubs for more information. I'm Tony Andracki here with Kelly Kroll, Luke Stuckmeyer. Guys, we just witnessed epic game seven, except it was actually game five, and it was only the NLDS and not the World Series, and this wasn't a replay of last fall. So Kelly, break it down for us. What the hell just happened?
I wish I could break it down for you. But one thing was for sure, from the very beginning of this game five, it felt different, right? We had Kyle Hendricks and Gio Gonzalez, if you can remember. We're talking about this now 5 hours after the fact.
It felt like a month. Yeah.
It was the longest game ever, but it felt different. The Cubs actually put up a run in the first inning, and then in the fifth inning, the best pitcher, I believe, in the game right now, Max Scherzer, they're able to get to a guy who held them scoreless through 7 1/3, and it was very impressive. The at-bats of watching Ben Zobrist come off the bench and then Addison Russell come through clutch, and it was on from there. But 9-8 being the final, you just didn't know how many it was going to take for them to finally pull it off, or how many outs they would need from Wade Davis in the end, which ended up being 7 with the help of Wilson Contreras. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Luke, you and I, we were talking before, and we did a little breakdown on video of why the Cubs won't win, but both you and I were thinking that they would, and we were kind of joking that, it would probably be a 10-8 game and Cubs win because of the fact that neither team has scored, so of course they're going to score a bunch of runs. Well, it was 9-8, so we were close.
Well, we were right on some things, but how many times...
We were right on everything in my head when I tell the story again. Yeah.
How many times during the game did this look like it was going to get away from the Cubs? It's funny because game two here is the one that they let get away when they could have put their foot down on the Nationals' throat and ended the series, gone back and wrapped it up quickly at Wrigley Field. This was the opposite. They fall behind. You think they're down 4-1. They bring Max Scherzer in. You feel like they have no chance. Somehow they get to Max Scherzer, and then the bullpen starts disappearing on them, and slowly but surely you're thinking, this is going to be Rajay Davis all over again. What Cubs fan out there in the world didn't see Bryce Harper come to the plate in the ninth inning and think, this is it. He's going to hit a home run, and it's all going to flip, and the bad luck is coming. Maybe not the bad luck's coming back, but I guarantee you there's not a Cubs fan that didn't think.
The pain is coming back.
Everybody thought Bryce Harper was going to hit home run and tie that game. It was just that crazy of a game. And in between there, you had every twist and turn you could possibly have and never, ever predict going into the game.
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing is Bryce Harper hitting a home run would be too predictable for this game.
Yeah, that was the only thing. You know, you could look at this game and you could say, well, if we could get 5 out of Hendricks, and then we'll bring in the next. Every fan had it all planned out, but when it came down to it, none of it was predictable, and that's why it's baseball, and that's why the Indians are knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, too, because it doesn't matter. None of the past stuff matters. It's one game, and you never know what's going to happen, and not just that, every inning you don't know what's going to happen.
And the end result is the Cubs are going to the NLCS for the third straight season. So basically, every year Joe Maddon has been in Chicago, they're in the NLCS. Every year Kyle Schwarber, Addison Russell, Chris Bryant, all of these guys have been in the big leagues. Wilson Contreras has only been 2 years, but still. So now moving on a little bit to L.A., Kelly, who throws game one for the Cubs, considering they threw everybody else out here to try to get to L.A.?
Well, as funny as Luke and I were talking about this in, like, the eighth-ish inning when we knew how many guys they had gone through, and C.J. Edwards, you know, and then in comes Wade Davis, and we're like, oh, my goodness, you know, who are they going to have left? And we'd seen Quintana at that point, and we both were thinking, it's going to be John Lackey. How about that? throw out the veteran for game one against Kershaw. How about that? That's going to be something else. And then we got a little insight, luckily, in the celebration there with champagne. And Luke was in on the interview, so I'll let him expand on it. But I know that he alluded to the thought that Jose Quintana, really, this was kind of more like a side session for him, if anything, today, having thrown, I think it was only 10, 11 pitches out in the game, warmed up, probably thrown, 15, 20. So you're looking at 30, 40 pitches somewhere in there, and that's about what they would throw in a side session. Luke, why don't
you? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's definitely what's going to happen. I thought it was going to be Lackey for sure, but Theo Epstein was the one that brought it up and said, it could be Q. We're going to talk about it because he felt like he wasn't really taxed tonight. He didn't pitch that much. He didn't warm up that long, and that might be an option for him. So it's got to be one of those two guys, obviously. It has to be either Lackey or Quintana. And I don't know where you go from that after that. What do you do for game two when you get to it? I mean, you're going against Kershaw. So you're up against it in game one, coming off a game, an emotional game like this, but that's also the perfect opportunity to go in and steal one. That's where nobody thinks you're going to go win game one against Kershaw now. There's no pressure. Go out there. I don't care if you pitch Lackey or Quintana. See what you get out of that starter and work from there. And hopefully either guy, one of those two guys, can take you into the fifth or sixth inning so you don't have to crush the bullpen again.
And, yeah, I mean, while all this is going on from the Cubs' perspective, the Dodgers have been sitting at home for days, for the better part of this whole week, just sitting and watching and hanging out. And I actually was looking, and I didn't see too many Dodgers players tweeting or reacting to this. I know we saw Andre Ethier had a pretty good bite earlier in the week about how he hopes that this game goes 18 innings, goes to 1 a.m. Well, I mean, Andre, it went to 1 a.m. It didn't go into extra innings, but it went to 1 a.m., so you got at least half of your wish.
They had to extend the subway hours in Washington. It closes it at midnight or 12:30 here, and they actually had to extend it and said, go Nats, but we can't stay past 1 o'clock. So they were running out of time to run the subways here in D.C.
So Bryce Harper would have broken D.C. had he actually hit a homer in the ninth inning. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll have plenty more to talk about. And as always, head to NBC Sports Chicago for more information, both from Kelly, Luke, and myself and Patrick Mooney on NBCSportsChicago.com.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
All right, welcome back into the Cubs Talk Podcast. And I'm Tony here with Kelly and Luke. And guys, there were so many storylines going into this series that we were talking about. The return of Dusty Baker to Wrigley Field and into Cubs Nation in general. Trey Turner versus Wilson Contreras, all of these things basically all got blown out the window. I mean, Max Scherzer's hamstring was an issue until it wasn't an issue, and the dude ended up still pitching in two games and greatly affecting both of them, even though the Cubs ended up winning both games he pitched. So in general, I mean, like you were saying before, Luke, you can't predict anything in this game, but going to the Dusty and the Joe Maddon and all of the second guessing, I guess it comes with the territory. But at the end of the day, Dusty's going home again. The Nationals are going home again for the fourth time in the last, 6 years. They have yet to win a playoff series. Where do you go from here?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Dusty. He said before the game, win or lose, this is something he wants to keep doing. He wants to chase that World Series championship as a manager. And I don't think Dusty lost this year. I think a lot of Cubs fans that didn't like Dusty when he left town, I think a lot of those Cubs fans were saying that Dusty was going to be the deciding factor in this series, and they thought the Cubs might win this because of Dusty. I don't think that happened, and I don't think the Cubs won it because of Joe Maddon either, by the way. I think it went back and forth a little bit throughout the series, but I don't think either manager won or lost this. This came down to one crazy game, and either team could have won this. I think when you look at it in the end, the crazy part is that what happened in the fifth inning to the Nationals, the meltdown, is what I grew up watching as a Cubs fan, as a young kid. Like, even 10 years ago, that's what would have happened to the Cubs, the lovable losers. That meltdown with Worth sliding in the outfield and whiffing, and that, you thought that run meant nothing. It turned out to be a huge run. That's the stuff that used to happen to the Cubs, and the Nationals haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, I actually wrote about it at the, you know, normally you're right. This was all these Cubby occurrences, but now, I mean, they're like Natty occurrences. They have to be because you're right. I mean, Chris Bryant beating out a double play grounder and John Jay sliding into second. You know, if the roles were reversed, maybe John Jay gets called out for an illegal slide. But everything kind of went the Cubs' way, went against the Nationals in a lot of different facets. I mean, they left somewhere around 15 guys on base for this game five. It was absolutely insane. They left 12 on through six or seven innings. So you're right. They had plenty of chances, and this didn't come down to Dusty or Joe Maddon. But Kelly, how would you kind of assess the second guessing that was on the managers, though, in this series?
I'm with you, both of you guys, in that it didn't come down to Dusty. It didn't come down to Joe. You know what it came down to? The players who were on the field. They were the ones that either got it done or didn't get it done. And the Nationals came up just short. And I think it's so interesting. We're blessed enough to be in a champagne celebration listening to the players who have found a way to become those winners. And I don't know if it's because you have the veterans on the team like the John Lesters and John Lackeys that have come over and sort of kind of helped groom, if for lack of a better phrase, these young guys who are way beyond their years. But in a way, the expectations were so high. But then they also had these veterans standing beside them saying, here, I'm going to show you how it's done. And you're going to come to the park and you're going to go through your routines and your workouts and you watch me. I mean, they didn't have to go up and say this, right? But they did it by example. And the guys have followed suit. And it's in moments like that that, oh my God, this one storyline that has played out all week long is, hey, how does the experience of last year help you in this? And there is no way they could honestly look at us tonight and say game seven and this game didn't have a similar feel in a way. I mean, of course, the energy and the pressure of where they were was completely different. But the craziness and the being able to stay in the moment and just do what you could, that had to be the same. And that the experience of figuring out a way to win, as ugly as it was, John Lester goes, we're there. I don't care what it looked like. We're headed to L.A. I think I'm getting on a plane. I think I'm headed to L.A. As long as I'm on that plane, I'm going to end up in Hollywood. Lester was an interesting, funny, intriguing interview post-game.
He might not have even really known where he was to begin with, so he knows where he's going. But you're right, Kelly. Jason Hayward was talking about that in that champagne-filled, cigar smoke-filled room. But, you know, he was the guy, obviously, that called that now infamous Game 7 rain delay meeting. But I was asking him, like, does this get easier to wrap your head around all this, to manage your emotions and all the experience? And he said, no, it doesn't get easier, but that experience does help. It helps because you know what to do, you know you've been there before, and you know you've kind of climbed that hill and gotten over it. And that's exactly all these Cubs players. Every single guy in this team, with the exception of, what, a handful of guys? I mean, John Jay has done it, just not with the Cubs. And Ian Happ has never done it before, but, like, I mean, he's one of a handful of guys. Brian Dunsing as well. So yeah, that experience does matter and it does play out. But Luke, if you're looking at this and you're watching it, the 5 hours or whatever that it was that it took, if you could take one play away from this that you think that you'll remember, or one moment or anything else, it didn't even have to be in the game, something afterwards, what one moment do you think you would take away from it?
No question, the pickoff and then the review. Chris Bryant laughed after we talked about it in the clubhouse, and he said, yep, this time we love instant replay review. And listen, even the calls ended up going the Cubs' way. I mean, that was, it seemed like a millisecond that his foot came off the bag, and what on earth is a backup catcher doing strain off of first base? That was maybe the worst play of the whole series, and Wilson Contreras said he could feel the momentum of the game getting away. Things were unraveling for Wade Davis. He didn't seem like he had his stuff. And so he thought, I'm taking a look at that guy down at first base. And he went for it. And that quick turn of the throw, the foot comes off, Rizzo holding the tag on, and then the review. You know what? Maybe it's not the experience of having been there, but it's the ability to slow the game down when it's so critical, and I think that is part of experience.
Yeah, that was a lot of people kind of credit that to Maddon for deciding to challenge, but that was actually Nate Holm, the Cubs video guy. He's the guy who does the instant replay. He was back there, and he saw was it Lobaton's foot come off the bag? And you're right, Luke. I mean, Theo actually said that as well, that for the rest of his life, he will always remember that pickoff. Wilson said the same thing. And, I mean, I what is a backup catcher doing that far off when there's a runner in front of him, when his run, he at that point, was the winning run? So, yeah, that was absolutely nuts. But
And Nate, for instance, got a nice ice bath, champagne bath, for all the players. And that goes to show you just really how close-knit this team is. I don't know if every team could tell you who all their video coordinator guys are, but these guys, every single one knows who they are, whether it's he sits down with them and goes through, you know, footage or whatever he has, or he's, but I loved seeing that moment for him too, because it was a big moment in his life that he'll never forget. But to something that Luke brought up with Wilson Contreras behind the plate and knowing what was going on with Wade Davis on the mound, I think that also goes to show you how these guys have really, having played together now pretty much the core for 2 years and gone into these deep October runs, they read one another and they know when a guy is feeling good or not, or what he's battling or whatever. And Contreras took that moment into his hands. I felt like the other night when they all saw Schwarber obviously boot the ball and left and then kick it around a little bit, I felt like these guys said, all right, we, you know, it's up to us. We got to pick this guy up. He's been there for us so many times, and, you know, we'll do it here. I don't know. It's something special about this team, but this was a fun one. I'm with Luke on that being the biggest play. I'd have a hard time coming up with another one unless it was maybe Scherzer's wild pitch that turned into the throw error to first that just kept up. I mean, it was like we were watching a Little League team, and it was so, for me, watching a pitcher like Max to lose control kind of the game in that moment, and it wasn't all his fault, let's be honest about that. That inning had everything I'd ever scored in like two plays.
It was actually, Theo was joking too, that whole Javi, they worked on that a lot. Javi actually messed up by not running right away because that was a play they had planned. But you're right, that whole inning was crazy. But to me, the one thing that I'll always remember is, you know, here the Cubs, after Michael A. Taylor's home run, that, you know, the Cubs are down 4-1. Everybody's thinking like, oh, that's it for the Cubs. And you know what? A lot of people were tweeting that, and that those thoughts were going through my head. And then that fifth inning came about, and, you know, Wilson beating out that ground ball, Zobrist following off a bunch of pitches, but then Addison coming up on the first pitch and lining one, you know, just inside the bag down the left field line. And to me, all of a sudden, like, before I really even, like, could breathe again after that moment, all of a sudden the Cubs are up again and they're winning 5-4, and then they never relinquish the lead after that. But that was one thing that I'm always, you know, I'll always think back and remember, like, holy crap, this game actually just spun on that moment and went from there. And there were so many of these momentum plays, but to me, that's the one thing that'll stick out.
I want to know, who's the most clutch Cubs player right now? Who do you think it is? Because, boy, you go back to Addison Russell having that huge slump against the Dodgers, and then he helps him out there. And then he helps him out in the World Series Game 6. You look at him in the clinching game against the Cardinals this year, and then the double tonight. He's as clutch as they get, but then I think, well, wait a minute. No, it's Zobrist. And I think, no, wait, it's some. It's so many different players. Can you pinpoint who it would be for you? Who would be your choice for most clutch Cub the last 2 years?
The last 2 hours, Wade Davis. That's all I got. I don't know about the last 2 years.
That is a tremendous question, and Luke's right. It just depends on the moment, which guy, because for the first four games, it was Anthony Rizzo. He was it. And then in game five, I mean, he comes up with that first, RBI ground out. But outside of that, Riz didn't have a whole lot going at the plate, and it was Addison Russell. But you're right. Ben Zobrist seems so professional coming off the bench tonight to face Max Scherzer in your first AB of the night. Hey, have fun, buddy. Didn't seem to faze him one bit, right? And, I mean, we have to bring up guys like John Jay, too, has been tremendous. I thought we'd see we did see Tommy La Stalla. Sorry. Yeah. Forgot about
that. You reached on catcher's interference. How'd you forget
Christmas?
That?
That's right. So I don't know. I mean, you know, and this was, I think, a rough series for Chris Bryant, but he could be your hero next series, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just how it seems like it rolls.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we talked several times about the Zobrist thing. That was a bloop. You know, he made contact and he deserves credit for it, but it was a bloop. And it's funny how these bloops, you know, have come into play for the Cubs in this series. Anthony Rizzo won game 3 off of a bloop that just happened to be in a perfect spot. Same with Zobrist here. And these were two of the biggest plays in the entire 5-game stretch. So, you know, things are breaking the Cubs' way. And Luke, you were talking about Addison last year in Dodger Stadium. He's excited to go back to Dodger Stadium now and get going against the Dodgers here in the NLCS.
Joe Maddon the other day was talking about how he knows when Addison's confident. He said, you know, I don't worry about confidence with him. I can look in Addison's eyes, and I know when he's got that swagger. And he has the swagger in the postseason, no matter what he's been batting. And you can see it kind of building in him. And it's such a strange thing, because if you would have told me a month ago that you were going to be here with Addison Russell, I was starting to wonder if they were going to have to keep Javi Baez at short. And I wasn't sure Addison Russell was even coming back. I didn't know what his medical status was going to be. He's come back, and they don't win this game without him. They don't win this series without him. You can say that about a lot of guys, but Addison Russell's become one of the most clutch hitters. If I need a base hit, I'm not afraid of any Cub coming up there, because I think they've all been clutch. But I'm pretty happy when I see Addison Russell grab a bat and go to the plate.
He's actually the only one who really hit the ball hard off of Strasburg yesterday, too, or in game four. He put one almost to the wall through
should
the teeth of the wind.
It should have been a home
really
run. Like, I mean, that was like a 90-mile-an-hour wind at that time coming in from center field. That's 15 rows up some nights.
All right, that'll do it for our podcast this week. Again, we are sponsored by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more information. We'll be back at it from the NLCS at Dodger Stadium. Thanks, guys.
After every Cubs game, stay tuned for Cubs Post Game Live, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, with David Kaplan and David DeJesus. Hear from Cubs players inside the locker room, get a live look inside Joe Maddon's post game press conferences, and more.